Book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 11 to 27. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. There will be wailing in all the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. There will be wailing in all the vineyards, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious festivals. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, house of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Claudette Colvin died this week at age 86. Who was she? When she was 15 years old, she refused to give up her seat to a white woman on a segregated bus in Montgomery, Alabama, in 1955. Her, along with Rosa Parks, 9 months later, helped to spark the civil rights movement in the U.S. by embodying a vision of justice. Because I'm into showing video clips lately, here is a 44-second clip of the late Baptist minister Martin Luther King Jr. and his famous preach in 1963, whose voice is like water. And how can we read Amos 5 today without hearing his famous use of the scripture?
We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
Now, for those of you who grew up in an evangelical church, the value of justice was not a large part of worship life. And perhaps this is how you grew up. Worship was separated from living a life of justice. The prophetic literature in the Hebrew Bible was not read much or distant from our everyday lives. Whereas in context of people experiencing injustices done towards them, an oppression because of racism or poverty or both or other, the prophets in the Hebrew scriptures and the prophetic acts of Jesus was much more alive, depending on where we are positioned in life. So Amos, our prophetic writer that Karina read for us today, was one who lived in the lower rungs of society. He was a migrant farm worker and shepherd. He moved from the southern kingdom of Israel to the northern kingdom in 8th century BC, a time when the northern kingdom of Israel was expansionistic, was prosperous, was successful. There was a rich upper class of society. They had leisure time to relax on luxurious couches and drink wine and listen to music, something that most of us do, we note, in comparison to the majority world almost every weekend. Amos speaks fiercely and pointedly about the injustices he sees around him, injustices that he has eyes to see because he is not part of this wealthier class. The book of Amos begins by pointing out the injustices of the nations around him, and then there is a surprise twist when Amos uncovers and exposes the injustices of his own nation as well. So these injustices are mentioned in this portion of scripture that was read: exploited working conditions for the poor, corrupt court system where judges take bribes. Other verses in the book of Amos talk about slavery and other injustices against the poor. Amos laments these injustices by using the word woe, the language one uses for wailing for the dead. Amos cries out that injustices of the poor are God's greatest concern. Amos is lamenting and calling for change, for repentance. If we trace back to verse 4, hopefully you have your scriptures open there in Amos 5. Verse 4 reads, "Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to journey on to Beersheba," which were sacred sites of worship. Rather, God says, "Seek me and live." Verse 6 reads, "Seek God and live." And then further on in verse 14, "Seek good, not evil." Coming to God and seeking to live out goodness toward the poor is what matters most to God. The religious hypocrisy that Amos exposes is like bitter poison in the mouth. We read later on, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Offerings and worship music are untenable to God's heart when justice is not rolling out like a river, when goodness, when right relationship with all things is not like an ongoing stream. We cannot mistake the heart of this migrant worker, Amos, speaking for the heart of God, speaking the vast theme of all the great prophets of the Hebrew scriptures. It's in our face, scripture this morning. It's harsh. It's a large, loud, raging wail. Now, often people speak of artists as the prophets of our time. Artists who make commentary on political situations, who raise issues of integrity and truth, speaking through color and dance, sculpture, theater. Joy Banks, you may know her, a local artist here in Vancouver who used to be a pastor here for many years, has just put up a new art installation in the Dal Shindel Gallery at Regent College. It opens up this Wednesday. You're invited to go. It's open up for a few months. It's called "The One and Unfathomable Many, A Lament for Gaza." And it's meant to be walked through not as a spectator, but as a participant. And I quote her now. The installation is about, quote, "keeping vigil and bearing witness to the ongoing brutality in Gaza. In a world that often turns away or numbs itself in the face of such violence, shared lament offers a space to pause and reconnect with the wrongness of the injustice we are witnessing. The installation provides an opportunity for participants to engage in collective lament and to attend to the weight of what's happening in Gaza. Perhaps grieving together in this embodied way will open pathways within us and among us for deeper compassion and action." Unquote. Artists as the prophets of our time, offering a loud, large, raging wail. The waters of life that we are loosely tracing in the scriptures this series included the waters that parted and formed the beginnings of the Hebrew people who were freed from being slaves to a powerful empire. These waters come from the very beginning gardens where relationship with creation and our Creator was close. And these waters remind us of our covenantal relationship with God, that God is drawing us to live in loving and faithful relationship with God and with one another, calling us to live lives of right relationship, of justice with all peoples, and most importantly, with the most vulnerable. The covenant that God offers to the Hebrew people was about relationship with God, with relating with others. God is synonymous in our text with goodness here. The call is to seek God, to seek a life of justice, for we are created for this. Now, justice has been a long-held value at Grandview Church. As we've aimed to seek good, to walk lives of justice, systemic justice, as well as personal justice, and I think over the years, there are a few pitfalls that we come against. Will Willimon, a preacher and theologian, speaks about his denominational meeting. He was in the United Methodist Church, in which many social issues were discussed. They were talking about sending money to cure malaria and AIDS, funding pensions of majority world pastors, sending water purification systems to the Caribbean. And after one long meeting of discussing their actions, these social actions, one person stood up raging at everyone in the meeting that nothing is being done about landmines. We've done nothing about landmines. And it's true. They hadn't done anything about landmines. We're doing nothing about landmines. There are so many injustices in the world, so many things that we hear about daily that we're doing nothing about. How do we live with ourselves? One pitfall is that we get weighed down by the judgment of not doing enough. Judging others, judging ourselves for not doing enough. Prophetic voices are very hard to hear, and it is as it should be, but it usually seems that people with open ears and open hearts who are already doing all that they can to do justice just feel more shame and guilt rather than the ones who are closed to the way and voice of justice. One pitfall is to get weighed down in judging others, in judging ourselves about acts of justice. Now, the other pitfall that we are susceptible to is that we don't hear that rushing river of life, the rolling waters of the never-failing stream calling us. Instead, we are overwhelmed by the amount of injustices in the world and the weakness of our own voice, so we just hide ourselves under our comfy duvets, on our luxurious couches, drinking wine and listening to music. Pastor Marianne McKibben Dana says, as she quotes what Amos is on about, that he's calling us to go the only way forward, which is to stand under this stream, to drown in it, to be reborn, to bathe in it, to let it pelt us with the things that only come from God, this river of life. For those of us who are baptized, we have been sprinkled with or doused or perhaps immersed in the waters of life. This is our identity in Christ that was inaugurated in our baptism. It's what we're called to claim every day in our lives. These waters, this river of life, compels us, empowers us to keep living a life of justice, to seek good and live justly even in the face of overwhelming injustice, even in the face of contexts and leaders that are so unjust, to move with our small and sometimes big acts of justice, to move into this trajectory, this river of life of a just community is the only way we are called to live with integrity, to live with selflessness. Now, one trajectory of justice that we are on about at Grandview, it's a long journey, it's a messy journey, it's not fully focused, it's not the only thing we're on about, but it's a long-term priority to be in right relations with Indigenous kin in the area in which we live. And one step that we made was quite a while ago, in 2012, we decided to do a land acknowledgement before each service. And the reason we did this was because we wanted to prepare ourselves for the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that was coming in 2013. That's the origin of why we started that. This is our first step, our first step of awareness, and it continues each week from that point on. It may be rote, but underneath, it expresses a desire to truly be a people that seek justice. And there have been various efforts and education that we have undergone as a community since then. Most recently, the board has made a decision to repudiate the doctrine of discovery. Mainly, this is a symbolic act, but it means that as a church body, we declare the doctrines of the Big C Church at the time that allowed land to be taken was wrong. And we want to repent. And we repent through many different acts. One of these acts of repentance is that we have some money in our budget that goes toward paying reparations to bands of the unceded lands that we live on. And we most recently made contact with the Musqueam Band in December, and they received it from us. Jane talked about this last week in our board update. Another step that we hope to do this spring is a book study on Jody Sparger's book, Mend. This book, Mend, is about reparations, this concept of reparations, among other ways of mending and repair. Jody was a member of Grandview for many decades, if you don't know her, or for a decade. She was also an interim pastor. She gives her life to guide churches to be in right relationship with Indigenous peoples. And so I hope as many of you as possible can attend these sessions. Reparations is a biblical concept. Living just lives were embedded in the laws of the Hebrew people. They were to leave extra food in the fields for the poor to glean. They were to let their workers rest every 7 days. They were to let the land rest every 7 years and every 50 years on Jubilee. The slaves were liberated. All debts were forgiven, and land that was taken for debt repayment, it was returned. So as Jody writes in her book, Zacchaeus makes repair for all the ways he acted unjustly, the ways he cheated. He pays back 4 times the amount of money that he cheated from the poor. His act of reparations. Now the times we live in are overwhelming. We know too much of what's going on. Our hearts break at all the injustices happening toward the poor, towards those with less power. And yet, we declare every time we gather together that there is a river of life flowing, a river of justice that does exist. In the face of evil, we are called to seek this never-failing stream. How can you be doused in the river of justice? Perhaps what is one act of justice you can be empowered to do? Here are some reminders. We can redistribute our money We can do this by giving away the gleanings that we have at the end of the year. We can do this by sacrificially giving up those things for others who don't have opportunity. We can repair and work to change church systems and theology that oppresses. We can offer friendship and commitment to those with difficult mental challenges. We can protest and stand in solidarity with those who are powerless. We can offer accessibility for those with mobility challenges, which we are planning to do, by the way. Come to our AGM to hear the good news. Or you fill in the blank for what God has opened your eyes to. We make these steps not with judgment on others or ourselves for what we are not doing. And we make these steps knowing we're not going to make justice happen for the world. It's not up to us to make the world right. But we are called to heed this prophetic call, to immerse ourselves in God's rushing waters of life, this river of justice that is a never-failing stream. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, in the unsettled waters of the world today, let there be new birthings of your Spirit. In the unsettled waters of the world today, let there be new birthings of your Spirit and begin with us. Help us just to come to the waters, to listen to your voice, and to follow you. Amen.